How many have ever been conflicted? Had two sermons. That's always a bad thing. I was ready last night. I always go over my sermon one last time last night, and it got changed. I'd worked on a sermon all week. They got changed to a different sermon. And I worked on both of them, and I said, Lord, which one? Made it very clear which one. But it was just tormenting at night to go to sleep. Lord, which one? Which one? But I'd always rather get it right than not be conflicted. So I am very thankful that the Lord gave me peace about it. Let me take care of one thing first. There are some sensitive people in our church, and I didn't ask this. How many of you would need to do a better job of treating your sons right? Would you raise your hand? Because my son was sitting up here. See, you forgot the sons. So I got it now, okay? All right. I got my son right. Teasing with him. We all want to treat people better. Do you know that the Bible says, look to yourselves, that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward? The Apostle Paul, and next week is revival, and really and truly, you know, I just want to share with you my heart this morning for you. I would like for every one of you in this room, if the Lord comes back next Wednesday night, for you to be ready. Now, the Bible says in 1 John, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. This would be my desire for you. Notice with me, if you would. 1 John 2, 28, and now, little children, servants of the Lord, abide in him. I want you to rest in the Lord. I want you to walk in the Lord. I want you to be close to the Lord. Abiding in the Lord means you're close to him as you can get, and you want to stay there. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. So in other words, it is possible for the Lord to come back and you be ready and excited for him and not have to worry about a thing that you've done wrong in the past. And may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It's also possible that you can be ashamed when you see Jesus Christ. So you have a choice. You can be confident and excited about seeing him, or ashamed and embarrassed about seeing him. I want you to have confidence in your heart. Now, this is for every teenager, every husband, wife, every father, every son, every wife, every husband. I want you to have confidence when you see the Lord. I did the right things. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he could not just write something that he wanted to write to make himself look good. God said, Paul, you've lived right. I want you to write it so they know it's possible. How many of you get frustrated with yourself sometimes and you do things that are wrong, you don't do something you ought to do, and you just look at yourself and say, man, I just wished I could be a better Christian. How many have you ever been like that other than me? Raise your hand, let me see it. Well, you know what? Paul must have been the same way, but somehow he got to living so close to the Lord that he knew God forgave him for his sins and the Lord was proud of him for his doing right. Let me give you an example. Now my son's going to really feel bad. I love my son. I'm so proud of him. Now he's here. Did you hear him laughing? See, I told you he's laughing. He thinks I'm doing this on purpose, but I'm not. I want to prove a point. My son growing up did a lot of things wrong. But I can only think of two. That's all I can think of. Two things he did wrong. They're indelibly imprinted in my mind. I've been trying to forgive them. Haven't got over it yet. One of them, he mowed in my beautiful yard his name in cursive. I had neck surgery. I couldn't mow the yard. He said, Dad, I'll take care of it. He was so proud of it. I walked out and looked at it, and I almost broke loose my pins in my neck when I saw it. It was a golf course putting green. Had the real mower. You could shoot marbles on it. I was so proud of that yard. Planted it myself. Did everything with it. Had the neck problem. Drunk driver hit me. And he was trying to help me out. Now, that's the only thing about it really I can remember. I remember one time, the last time he lied to me that I knew of. I remember that. Done and over with. But you know what? That's the only two things I remember he's done wrong. You think that's all he's done wrong? No, but love covers over all the rest. You don't see all that. I know this. I was married for 43 years, and I'm sure my wife did some things wrong. But to me, she's my hero. She's perfect. So what I'm trying to tell you is the Lord loves you. And he wants to think good about you. And when you're trying to do what's right, it's like he just sees the right. He's already paid for all the wrong. You do understand that. Look in 1 John. You see, you got your Bible still open to 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I want you to see this passage. Look at 1 John chapter 2, just above verse 28. I want you to see this, 1 John 2, just above 28. I'm trying to get over there to it. My Bible's not cooperating real quick. 1 John 2, notice with me, if you, I think it is verse number 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So eternal life is settled. Heaven is settled. But he said, look, in verse 26, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Do you understand? I want you to know that there are people trying to get you to do the wrong thing. Now, I'm going to go through in just a minute and give you very quickly some things about Paul, the Apostle Paul, that helped him be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to see, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, verse 7. In other words, I've lived my life the way, the plan of God for me. Everybody in this room's got a plan. God's got a plan for your life. You may say, well, I'm not sure what God's got a course for you to run. Every one of our lives, it's different. Some of you, your course in life is to be a lawyer. We have lawyers in this room. Some of you, it's to be a doctor, or it's to be an FBI agent or a CIA agent. We have those in this room. And maybe your job is to be an electrician or a plumber or an accountant. We have all those in this room. But all of us have the same criteria for our course: to abide in him, to live for him, to be a light to the world, to be pleasing to Christ. And if you're married, it's to be a great husband or a great wife. It's to be a great father to your children. It's to be a great son or daughter to your parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. The promise that God will bless you. So all of us in this room, in our course of life, we have ingredients that we're supposed to fulfill, and people look at us and say, wow, there's something different about them. That's what God's looking for. He wants to bless every one of you in this room, but everyone in this room have your own course in life. Notice the wording, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I had a course. Susan had a course. She finished her course. I'm still working on my course. Paul knew, it wasn't very much longer after this, Paul was martyred. He knew it was coming. He knew it was going to happen. And he said, I've finished my course. I'm going to die soon. Notice with me, if you would, he says this, I have kept the faith. I didn't have wasted years. And folks, today, I want to encourage you not to have wasted days. Do you realize every wasted day, every day that you just get up and you don't have the right attitude, you get up on the wrong side of the bed and you don't do what's right all that day long or half that day, is a blank page in the book of your life when you get to heaven. Now, it's just rewards that are going to be given to you, but it's a blank page. Because he says it's going to be purged by fire. And the fire is going to try every man's sword of what sort it is. If any man's work abides which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If not, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? That what we could have had. He wants you to abide in him. So let's say Wednesday night, next Wednesday night, the Lord's coming back. If you knew next Sunday night at 10 o'clock, the Lord was coming back. I mean, the clouds, the darkness of the night was going to shatter into the brightness of noonday. And you were going to see the Lord, the one that wears the scars for you. And he was going to look at you and call your name and say, come on home. I've been preparing for you. Would your head go down? Or would you say, oh, I've been waiting for you. That you may have confidence and not be ashamed. Everybody in this room, run your course to win. Now, I want you to take your Bible, if you would. I want to give you a few things. I want you to see these things about Paul. I want you to see four things about Paul. Number one, he decided personally on trusting Christ. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 9. Everybody, we're not going to spend long here, but I want you to see everybody in this room has got to make this decision. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, Paul's salvation decision was spectacular. Mine was not. Yours probably was not. But you'll notice, if you would, Acts chapter 9, you'll see he's journeying in verse 3. He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth in verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what he's saying? It's hard for you to kick against the convicting hand of the Holy Spirit. And you remember whenever you saw Stephen stoned to death and you were holding the coats of those people, stoning them, and you were cheering them on? Do you remember that voice in your heart saying, this is the wrong thing, this is the wrong thing, you shouldn't be doing this? You remember that? Yeah, I remember that. Later on in the passage, he said, I was there when they stoned Stephen. He never got over it. You remember, you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, I'm the worst of all sinners because I killed Christians. I went into homes and I drug out moms and dads and I took them to the gallows, or I took them to the stadium where the wild animals tore them apart. I did horrible things to Christians, and God, how can you forgive me? But he said, Lord, I know you have forgiven me, and so I'm the least of all Christians. I think all of us have to come to the point where we say, I am a Christian and I know it. Paul, you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 6, he said, and he said, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will they have me to do? And this passage, he was saved. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 15, he said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, speaking to Ananias, to bear my name. And you'll notice in verse 16, he said, I will show him my great things. You must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went to his house and entered into the house, put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, had sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes when we get saved. So he's trusted Christ as Savior in this passage. He told this story to kings and prophets all over the world as he traveled. God save me. It happened at a point in time. I don't know what that date was, but I guarantee you he may not have remembered the actual date of the year it was, or even what day of the week it was, but he remembered that light, and he remembered falling on his knees and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, would you forgive me and save me? Everybody in this room has got to decide on Jesus. You have to decide on that cross. Everybody in this room, are you going to let the cross of Christ wash away your sin, or are you going to try to carry it yourself and get to heaven before God and stand at the great white throne judgment and have no advocate? You have to go to hell and pay for it yourself. But today, in this room, you can trust Christ as Savior as anybody in this room can if it's not settled in your heart. You have to decide if you're going to see the Lord and have confidence. The first thing, you've got to decide on Jesus. Second thing I want you to notice, you have to discipline yourself. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is sort of a dirty word, discipline. Let me tell you why discipline's a dirty word. You go to Wegmans, you're pushing your cart down the aisle, and you get to the ice cream section. And you have to say, I'm not going to get that vanilla bean ice cream that is so good. You just take your cart, turn it, and keep right on going. That's discipline. Some of us have it. Some of us don't have it. I just want you to know somebody was very kind to me. It was clergy week last week. I don't know really what that means, but it was just you're supposed to honor pastor, clergy. I guess that's what I am. I don't like the word clergy, but I guess I am that. So they got me a big bar of Kit Kat bar. Great big one. It's in my office. It's torture. I said, I'm not eating that until I get to a certain weight. I'm not eating that. I go by, I walk in my office, and it says, Kit Kat, Kit Kat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I'm just telling you, it takes discipline to say no. Now, take your Bible and turn to this. Notice if you would, here's Paul saying this. Look in verse 24 of chapter 9. Know you not that they run in a race, run all. So everybody's running in a race. Everybody in this room's running a race. Look here. Brother Brandon's running a race. Brother Sam's running a race. Brother Sonny's running a race. Brother Micah's running a race. Brother James is running a race. Everybody's running a race. But we're not running against each other. It's your course. Every lady in this room. Are you running it to please the Lord? So notice what he says. He said, every man runneth the race. But notice if you would in verse 24, but one receiveth the prize. Now that's in a normal race. But in the race of life, everybody can receive the prize if you put Jesus first. That's what he's trying to get you to understand. Notice if you would, so run that you may obtain. So that's what his challenge is to everybody in this room. Run to win. Everybody, run to win. You're running to win your race against your own flesh where you've got to say, no, I'm not using that word anymore. No, I'm not going to let temper get a hold of my life today or this week or ever again. No, I'm not going to let the wrong thoughts hit my mind. I'm not going to let my eyes see the wrong things on purpose. I'm going to do the right thing. Notice what he says in verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, temperate, self-controlled. It's ekritos. This is the original word, this Greek word here. It's like if you could ever watched a chariot race, or if you ever seen one on TV, or maybe a stagecoach riding. In Wyoming, they have stagecoach races, wagon races at the Wyoming Rodeo. And if you could ever see it, the best picture I can tell you is that they have maybe 6 horses running or 8 horses running. And if you picture each one of those things are things in your life, temper, attitude, forgiveness, bitterness, and each horse is running. And so what they do is they take the reins in their fingers and they pull them a little bit each one and they control the horse that's in the front right, the front left, and they get them to running together as a team. They keep them in control. And this word is temper. You keep them in control. He said, notice that the wording here, he says, is temperate in what things? So there's nothing you can say, but my wife made me do it. My husband made me do it. But if you knew the circumstances, you'd understand why I lost my temper. If you knew the circumstances, you'd know why I ran around to my wife or ran around to my husband. You'd know. He says, in all things, because you're running your race. No one can keep you from winning but you. God promised. He said, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Everybody sins it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God says, I'm right here with you. I can help you. Get that, get that. No! And I leave it there on purpose. I could remove it out of the room. I could put it in the trunk of my car and leave it there until I get to a certain weight. And that's none of your business, okay? Certain weight. You know, you see someone that loses weight, a lady that loses weight. Say, oh, you're losing weight. Never do that. You learn, never do that. And so, you know, if somebody's losing a bit of weight, you get some goals. How many of you ever had a goal to lose a little weight? Anybody here? Don't raise your hand, but you had a little goal. Okay, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to give you an example that you look at things and say no to. Well, I am trying to lose the weight of this world. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice with me, if you would, I want you to see a verse. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, he speaks of chapter 11, all the heroes of the faith. He speaks of Abraham and Moses and Isaac, and he speaks of David and King Solomon, all the different great people of Scripture. He says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about, so they're already in heaven watching us live. He said, compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Wait. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, maybe the weight is, I don't know that there's any sinful thing in eating a Kit Kat, but it is a weight. It keeps you from accomplishing your goal. So I don't know that there's a sin in reading 15 minutes of your Bible instead of 20 or 25, but maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to read enough to where all of a sudden something jumps out at you, and so you're in a hurry, and maybe you only read for 5 minutes, and the Lord wants you to read for 15 or 20, or maybe you're just busy, and you're doing this and that, and you're not thinking. Anybody ever been reading your Bible and not thinking about it? Other than me? Let's see your hand. Okay. So you're doing the right thing, but you're not doing it the right way. And say, Lord, please help me to concentrate. Help me to concentrate, Lord. There's some men in our room that get up at 3:30 in the morning. It'd be very difficult to concentrate on the Scriptures at that time. They have to be to work by 5. I respect those men. They fight through it. They say, no, I'm going to discipline myself to get up, get my shower, sit down in my chair, and I'm going to read God's Word, and Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? That takes discipline for you to win your race. Lord, would you show me something that I can do better this week? If everybody in this room said, I want to do something better this week, there are all kinds of people that I could describe for you. J.D. Martinez is a batter or a player for the Boston Red Sox. Did you know that he was in the minor leagues for a long time? And they'd bring him up, and he couldn't make the major leagues. And he decided he was going to change things. And he started working on this little thing and that little thing. And this year, he leads the majors in home runs. What changed? They said he changed some things himself. To be a nobody, to be the major league leader in home runs. How do you do that? You make up your mind, I'm going to discipline myself, and that pitch, that curveball that comes in the bottom right-hand corner, I'm going to lay off of it. And so he did. He started walking, and they started pitching, having to bring the ball in a little bit, and he could hit it, and he could hit it out, and he just disciplined himself. And so everybody in this room, no matter what walk of life you have to discipline yourself. You have to look at things and say, no. I'm not going to be late with supper this week. I'm not going to be late going home this week. No, I'm not going to let that word slip, and I'm not going to talk to my wife that way. I'm not going to talk to my husband that way. I'm going to have the right attitude. I'm not going to talk to my brother that way, my sister that way. Lord, I'm going to win this week for you. Everybody in this room, you have to discipline yourself. Notice, if you would, I want you to see back over in the passage again. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice what he says this. He said, every man that striveth for the mastery, every man that agonizes, agonizomai, that's agonizing over to win the victory, that's trying with all of his heart, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Anybody here ever ran track or wrestled? The most difficult things I ever did in my whole life was wrestling. It's 6 minutes and you're whipped. You're just, there's no energy left. I've never done anything like that. I've even been exhausted in the first 3 minutes. And so you're wrestling with somebody, and every move requires a counterbalance. And you're trying to think, you're trying to do things back and forth. And so in just a few minutes, you're just exhausted. Well, in training for that, or in running in high school, I'd run track and run the half mile. Well, our coach would say, I want you to run a 440. I want you to run it, jog 6 or 8 of them or 10 of them. And it was like, he didn't care about you, you know? Hey, you run 6 or 8 440s, that's 2 miles if you run 8 of those things. Does he understand that? And he says, now this time I want you to sprint them. I want you to sprint them. Sprint a quarter of a mile after I've already run 15 of those other things? Yeah, come on, do it. What's he trying to do? He's trying to discipline your body. So when you come to the race, you can win. Well, you'll notice if you would, look here, he says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, you win some awards in elementary and high school and junior high and college even. How many of you know where those awards are? Nothing that I ever won do I have any record of. No trophy. Now, when I was growing up, they didn't give participation trophies. They only gave first, second, and third, and that was it. And if you weren't good enough for that, you had to be tough and get over it. And so, you know, I had some trophies. I remember having a box of those or whatever I had. And when Susan and I got married, and she said, what do you want me to do with these things? And she said, boy, I didn't know this or this. I said, throw them away. They're old. They're no good. What good are they? Do you guys care if I did this in the third grade? No. Who does? And so, you know why? You get a little older, you get a little older. You know what's going to happen? The one that matters is when you stand before the Lord and he says, welcome home. I'm proud of you. That's what matters. But you got to discipline yourself. You got to say, I'm going to be the best wife or the best husband that God's ever made on this earth. Lord, you help me. You're not in competition with the lady next door or the lady in the seat beside you. You're in competition with your own flesh. And you have to say no to a lot of things that you've been saying yes to if you're going to win. But then you'll notice, not only do you have to decide on Christ and discipline your life, but you have to have a definite direction. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to see this very quickly. Philippians chapter 3. Look in verse 13. Philippians 3:13. And I just went through Paul's life and I saw these things. You'll notice he says this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. You know, I don't think there's anybody in this room say, I'm about as good a Christian as you can be. Nobody can arrive, say, I've arrived. No one. So you can't look at your wife and say, look, I'm about as good a husband as you'll ever get. You can't say that. You can always be better. You know, when I first came here, I made a couple. If you speak enough, you're always going to say something you ought not to say. How many of you understand that? That's the reason, let thy words be few, the Bible says. But I don't know how a preacher does that. So one day I was preaching and I said, you know, I said something about my current wife. And that didn't go over well. The place just went, oh. And I heard the vacuum in the air of the room. And I looked down at my wife and, current wife. Oh, no, she's my only wife. I just want you to understand that. Everybody understood that. And I said, you know, but she's the, and then I said, she's my present wife. And that was even worse. And so you get the things you begin to say, and you say, Lord, help me with my tongue. Lord, that anybody ever said something you regretted? Did you fix it? Did you go back and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. Great Christians do that. They humble themselves. They discipline themselves. And they say, I'm sorry. And to stay right and to be right, to live at ground zero, the place where all the action takes place, to be right and stay right is one of your goals. How it to be the goal of every husband and wife in this room, of every brother or sister. How many of you got a brother or sister? Let me see your hand. It ought to be your goal to say, I want to be at ground zero. I want to be in the right place. I want to be sweet with my brother or my sister. I want to have nobody that I look at and say, well, I don't like them. I don't want to hear one name that causes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I want to have forgiven everybody. I want to love people for Jesus' sake. That's hard to do. But it's got to be a goal in your life. Notice what he said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That tells me that Paul had some issues he was working on. But this one thing that I do, here it is, forgetting those things which are behind. And everybody in this room's got to do that. We all have things to forget. But the Lord says, I'll help you. If it's forgiven, you know the funny thing about the word forgiven in the New Testament? It's the word aphiemi. The word aphiemi means to send away. The Lord says, I've sent all your sins away. In Psalm 103, he says, I've sent them as far as the east is from the west, and there is no east and no west. If he had said the north and the south, there is a south pole and a north pole, but there's no east or west pole. So he's saying, I've sent them away where you'll never find them. They're gone. I put all your sins behind my back. I put them in the depths of the sea, 7 miles down, Mariana's Trench. I like a thick cloud that blotteth out the sun, I have blotted out your sins. They're gone today. So forgetting those things which are behind, both good and bad, so you don't get pride and look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. You start today, Lord, today I want to live it for you. You'll notice he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth and pressing. It's like this. It's doing the very best you can. Anybody ever been on a ladder? And you're, how many of you, what rung of the ladder are you not supposed to stand on? Top rung. Okay? But you can almost reach it without the top rung. But you think, maybe I could just get on, if I just did. And, you know, it takes discipline to say no. And so you're trying to, but you're stretching. I was painting my deck, and I said, I think I can get that. All I had to do was get down and move the ladder over. But, you know, when you're going fast, you know what I'm saying? I can paint. That's this word. Reach for your goals. Stretch for your goals. Let me ask you this morning. What have you decided on as goals? What is your direction? Have you made a direction, I'm going to please the Lord. You're here at church. That's a good thing. But have you decided to be the kind of church member that the Lord can say, I'm proud of you? It doesn't matter what suit or tie you wear or don't wear. But it does matter your heart. Because the Lord is watching. It does matter how you treat people. The Lord's looking at you and saying, will you win your race today? Now, you got to have goals. You know, the first person, I was 14 years old, my dad said, son, I'm going to let you go to work for me. I'm going to pay you $1.60 an hour. I thought I was rich. And really, that was good money then. And he put me with a plumber named Fred Cotton. He was a drunkard and he was a foul-mouthed man and he didn't like his wife, and my dad put him with me, and I just purposed in my heart that I'm not going to be like this guy, but I'm going to make him like me. I was 14 years old. So he said, I need a basin wrench. And I jumped up out of my deal and ran to the truck and got it, brought it back. He said, son, you don't have to run. I said, but don't you want it? Well, yeah, but you know, and so everything he did, I just tried to do it quick as I could, try to think for him. Whenever I saw him doing something, I tried to think, what's the next tool he wants? And I tried to get that. He said, wow. I never got a chance to really do anything, but he called me preacher, 14 years old. Only because I didn't curse. I didn't laugh at his dirty jokes. And I didn't listen to him talking about his drunken escapades on the weekend. So every Monday come around, this is all summer. Lord, I want to be a testimony. You see, I had to make at 14 a direction. I don't want to be like that. And then I had to set some goals. Notice what he does here. Look here. He said in verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. The word mark is scopas. It's what you see way out in the distance. I want to get there. A scope is on a gun so you can put the bullet at the right spot, way out there. So you put a scope on your life and say, I want to be that kind of a Christian. Have you determined that's what you want to be for your life? Look, my prayer is that every husband in this room would purpose in your heart to make your wife the happiest wife in the world. And that every wife in this room would purpose to make your husband the happiest husband in the world. And you can do it. And I want you to understand this. It is a part of your course. Well, you don't know my husband. You don't know what God sees about you. He sees every thought you make, every word you say. You know, my desire would be to you stand before the Lord and he would look at every one of you and say, Christine, you're a great wife. John, you're a great husband. But I can't make you do that. But I can set the goal up and say, that's what God wants. Every teenager, that your life would so bring glory to the Lord and to your parents that you would say, that's what I want to be. And you'd determine in your heart things in your life to make you like Christ. Because if he comes next Wednesday night, is your head going up or down? Everybody in this room can win, but you have to decide. And the last thing I want you to notice, and I'm done. I'm running over time, I'm sorry. But you'll notice, if you would, he was determined. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts 16. This is the greatest example I can find in Scripture of really being determined. Nothing's going to change it. I'm going to win in every case. Notice, if you would, Acts 16, verse number 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. This is Paul and Silas. And the magistrates, that's the people in charge, rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So he put them in the dungeon, and then he put their feet in the stocks and locked them up. And said, man, whatever happens, I don't want these guys to get out. And he locks them up. Their backs are bloodied and beaten. And what do? It's midnight. I'm certain they're tired and exhausted. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Lord, you know our circumstances. You know what's happened. And Father, we're trying to do the right thing. And pretty soon Paul looked at Silas, or Silas looked at Paul and says, you know, I just want, man, little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it. Let's sing together, Paul. And they begin to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. They just began to sing, and the place began to rock. And the Lord said, wow, I'm proud of you. I can't believe you got your backs bloodied for me, and you're singing. And Paul, and I can imagine in his mind, Paul and Silas said, let's sing a little louder, Silas. Let's wake them all up. Let's let them know how wonderful Jesus is. And pretty soon the doors fly open. The Lord says, tell them. And they go start telling, and the jailer falls down, and he says, could you tell me what you've got? And he led the jailer and his whole family to Christ. You know what? That takes determination. I'm never giving up. In track, when you're on the last 110 in a half-mile race, or the last 110 in the last mile race, and you turn toward home, you can see you can see the flag, or you can see the tape, or you can see the finish line, and you're starting to run, and you're running with all of your might. In other words, you're now sprinting to the finish line. You know what happens? Your legs begin to burn, your lungs begin to hurt, because you're doing everything that you can do. You're pushing your body past its limits, what it's done before, and you're trying to get there with all your might. At that moment in time, are you going to slow down and ease up, or you're going to finish? Everybody in this room's got to make that decision. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants to be prepared for him to come every night for the rest of your life. What if he comes next Wednesday? Will you finish strong? Everybody in this room's got to choose. What kind of a Christian do you want to be? And that's what revival helps all of us, to point out things. I didn't see that. I didn't see this. But only you can say, I want to change it. I want to win my course, my race. One of my great dreams and joy is that everybody in Temple Baptist Church stands before the Lord and hears two words. Matt, well done. I'm proud of you. Yes. But I tell you this, it'll grieve my heart if the Lord looks at somebody here and says, welcome home. And nothing more. It's not a time of negativity. I believe the Lord's going to be positive. You see that in Scripture. But you can tell in His voice. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can tell when somebody says something. They're being nice, but you could have done more. I want everybody here to hear the two words, well done. I'm proud of you. But you choose. Let's pray this word of prayer this morning. Are you prepared for revival? Are you prepared for Wednesday night if the Lord comes? Are you ready for it? Everybody in this, as you go to work tomorrow, are you going to represent Him well? Is that your goal? Folks, could I challenge some of you ladies, men, teenagers, come to this altar and say, Lord, I got a new goal. I want this in my life. I want that in my life. Lord, I want to get rid of this in my life. I want to get rid of that in my life. Could I challenge you? Set some new goals. Be disciplined in your life. Dream in your life. We're going to have a word of prayer in a few moments. Folks, I'm pleading with you today to look at the Lord this morning in your heart and say, Lord, I do want to win my race for your name's sake. You're the only one that can say that. Will you do it? Lord Jesus, will you speak to our hearts this morning? Lord Jesus, I know there's hundreds of people in this room that you love and you personally died for their sins. Would you save the ones? Get them to decide on you today. Lord, maybe some of them have got to determine in their life what they're going to do. They've got to come up with the right direction. Lord, there's some of them that they've got to just fight through it and make up their minds, I'm going to win. Even though they're going through hard times, they're not giving in until they see you. Lord, give us those kind of people. Would you give yourself those kind of people that love you more than all? In your name we pray. Amen.